right now, and look, I get there's a lot of time that needs to play out. We haven't even touched a preseason game. There's a lot of camp. There's a lot of practices. Right now, I think it's going to be a hard sell for me to believe that Trey White's not your week one starter.
That is Mr. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast. He said that yesterday on the Bills Squad Show, which is part of your Locked On Bills channel. And on YouTube, you can find that. And I told Josh to pull that because I think that's a little bit of a growing sentiment. Jeremy and Joe here with Mr. Joe Marino, who joins us from St. John Fisher. Not a red flag about Max Harrison, more of a testament to Trey White looks like he's been pretty good.
Yeah, honestly, I've been really impressed with Tre'Davious White, and I didn't know what to expect when the Bills signed him with kind of the recent few years that he's had with injuries, and then last year he was healthy, but you know the Rams had him for four games, and they said that'll be all. Send him on his way, and he goes to the Ravens, spends a lot of time on the practice squad, and he gets time in their dime packages, and he started to look better, but you know, didn't really know if he'd be back in a spot where he'd be a full-time player in the NFL, but this feels like the right opportunity for him at this point in his career, and I think he's met the moment. Obviously, he's played well himself, but you can just tell there's a leadership component that he brings to this team. I mean, he does his rep, and then he is just literally coaching every single player on the field. When he's done with his opportunities, and you know he's in Maxwell Harrison's ear a lot. He's in Christian Benford's ear a lot. All the young players, and he's bringing a lot to this football team. But I just haven't seen enough yet from Maxwell Harrison that makes me think that he's a realistic guy to start in week one. Now there's a lot of time that needs to play out. We just had our first padded practice yesterday. There's an entire preseason, but I think right now my thought is that Trey White is not going to be easy to set aside and put Maxwell Harrison on the field.
For anyone that might, you know, be nervous, we already got a comment in the chat on YouTube that is a red flag or it's another Kyer Elam situation. Why is it not that?
Well, I think Maxwell Harrison's doing plenty of good. It's just up and down. And the consistency that he needs to find should be expected, right? I mean, he's a young player. He's a first-round pick, but he's never played in the NFL. If he came out here and had everything figured out from day one, that'd be pretty surprising. That's an unrealistic expectation. And so I think he's being coached through some things. I think he's learning about the physicality in the NFL. I saw several reps against Keon Coleman where, you know, he's really trying to be physical with him. And that's really not his game, right? I think he just has to find his way. And I think we'll see it little by little. But this will be my third practice of the week. And I thought there was growth from – you know, the first practice, the second practice, and it's just about staying that course and continuing to show what he can do. But he's got to find some consistency.
Do you feel like – I almost don't think it will get to this point. Both Tre'Davious White and Christian Benford have had their injury problems, that if it were White and Benford to start the season, you know, how long it would take for Harrison to get in there, or even if it would. You know, if White comes in and looks the part and is trustworthy and doesn't look – like it does look like the athletic profile is still there enough – that Harrison might not get in anytime soon, but it would be because the guys ahead of him aren't giving him any reason to get in there.
I think the Bills have done a good job of knowing when the right time is to play these young players. I think about Spencer Brown, that Houston game. It was week four, week five. All of a sudden, you find out, boom, this is the starting offensive line, and it was the right time for Spencer Brown to step into there. Terrell Bernard, for him to kind of have the year of onboarding that he did, and never finding the time for Kyer Elam felt like the right idea, right? So I think they've done a good job of knowing when is the appropriate time to play him, and I think they'll have to have the right idea with Maxwell Harrison. And, I think this team just – it's like you could on one hand maybe wish that Maxwell Harrison was firmly coming in here and claiming the job. But on the other side of that is this team has depth at corner. And it's been a while since that's been true, and the depth has been stressed late in the season the last several years, whether it's been Tre'Davious White not being available. Christian Benford's not been available really for the last two Chiefs playoff losses. And so I think that's kind of your silver lining is maybe Harrison's not everything right away, but you've got depth for the first time in a long time at corner that you feel pretty good about.
Depth seems to be a conversation pretty much up and down the roster. Like they've got it, of course, in spades on the offensive line. At receiver, we're seeing these names come in, and Joe, it's a departure from last year where these names that would come in will be, well, maybe they can make a difference, and now it's like these guys don't have a chance. It looks like they're pretty well stocked 1 through 5. So I feel like, would you say that about the whole roster, that the depth on the roster is maybe as good as it's been?
Well, 9 years into McDermott and Bean, you'd like to think that you're kind of at that point where that's what you're trying to figure out is depth and, you know, really finding areas where you can elevate, but it's a different part of a life cycle of a team where this isn't year one, two, or three. This is well established. They're kind of into another nucleus under the same regime, and so I think that's kind of where the roster turns. It's not New England or Washington or what Houston came through or Arizona. This is a well-established operation, and so I think that's kind of where these conversations are going to be rooted.
Is there any position right now where you are wondering about the depth?
Quarterback.
Quarterback.
quarterback. Well, I think there's a legit battle there between Trubisky and White.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe you could convince me White's been slightly better out here, but I think any gap would be marginal. I think Mike White probably throws a better, more accurate football, but, you know, there's athletic limitations there. You watch his footwork. Those feet are heavy, you know, like looking like Matt Ryan trying to get in his drops. He's just not very mobile, but that's kind of where Mitchell Trubisky picks up the slack, but then maybe White just has a little bit more when he's actually throwing the football in terms of placement and some timing stuff. So the challenge there is I feel like Trubisky's the one that has the big-time relationship with Josh Allen, which we know is an important part of the quarterback depth conversation here. And but the other side of that is the Bills would gain $1 million in cap space if they were to go with White over Trubisky. So I think that's a real battle that's going to play itself out in preseason. But the reality is I don't love either option. And maybe the real answer there is Josh Allen just needs to continue to be the most durable quarterback in the NFL.
You know, we're watching a couple practices, five practices in. Injuries have been a storyline. Kincaid out with a knee, Samuel the hamstring. You know, nothing sounds too serious, but I feel like maybe we have, flashbacks to last year where so-and-so missed the start of camp, and because of that, they're behind. And for Allen, you know, one thing you and I have talked about a lot is building chemistry with Kincaid, how important that is for those to have chemistry. And for him to be out right now is unfortunate.
Very much. And it feels like that's been a quiet conversation before he was injured. It was like, how's Kincaid looking out here? And I thought for the two practices that I saw him, I thought things looked good. A lot of good runaway routes from linebackers. And the play he got injured on was a really nice deep opportunity on a corner route that was he found some space between Rapp and Milano, and then that ball was in the air just a little bit longer than you thought, and all of a sudden it's a contested situation, and he got contact from both sides, and he finished a practice, but obviously, you know, he wasn't available yesterday. We don't know what today holds, but I think that's what's hard to gauge is, like, how serious is any of this? Is the team just saying, hey, it's July, we don't have a game until September, there's a lot of important players on this list, we need to be cautious, or is it stuff that is going to linger and be a problem? So I understand both sides of the coin. And, you know, the first thing Sean McDermott says after he talks about injuries, he goes, I'm not getting into timetables. Okay, well, I guess we'll just have to speculate and wonder and probably lean into being concerned.
Yeah. The one thing about that is it doesn't sound like – but, again, like, part of that is not knowing. Anybody that is, like, being talked about as, like, a missing time in the regular season candidate. Here's the Cowboys who lose their left tackle yesterday. Yeah. And I guess the positive news would be, I don't know if there's anyone on this list where I'm worried about that, but at what point would you? Like, with we asked this to Sal, like, how long would Spencer Brown have to be out before we start getting, like, really worried about his status with it being a back injury that he's had in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I think about Terrell Bernard. I was talking to Joe Biscaglia about this the other day. Terrell Bernard, the year that he was his second season when he was going to become the starter, he had an injury that kept him out of, like, the last 3 weeks of camp, and then all of a sudden he was still the starter over Tyrell Dotson, even though Tyrell Dotson was the healthy player stepping in there. So I think that, you know, for as much as there are true competitions that need to play out, I think there's probably a direction that the team sees this going. But, yeah, I mean, the closer we get to the season and guys aren't practicing is when I think you start to find some concern. But I guess the silver lining right now is that it's, what, July 29th, so hopefully there's still plenty of time.
We talked about Harrison. Let's dig through the rest of the rookie class. TJ Sanders, Landon Jackson, and Deion Walker, three players on that defensive front. What have you seen so far?
Well, I think they've all been really, like, high energy. They've been hard charging, pursuing hard. I think it's – we had one padded practice, and I certainly tried to watch as much of them as I possibly could, but you don't have as big enough of a sample size to really say this guy really looks good. I think right now I can praise the effort. I can praise the energy. I can praise the athleticism. I thought they've all moved extremely well. But, you know, getting a real gauge for where the technique is at and where the impact could lie, I think we'll need a few more practices to really know. I'll say with Deion Walker, the Bills ran a lot of zone runs, stretch-type plays yesterday in practice, and I thought his ability to work laterally was pretty impressive. out there. And then, you know, I think the get-off with Sanders and Landon Jackson in terms of getting off the ball, you know, there wasn't much hesitation. They were intentional with getting off the snap. So I think those are, like, little good things, but not enough of a sample size to really get a full gauge, but that'll be a priority for me today and Thursday and Friday.
Anything from Jackson Hawes stand out first day with pads on? I don't know. Like, he, of course, more of a blocking tight end. Seen him make a couple of catches.
Yeah.
And the two guys ahead of him on the depth chart have been missing time with injuries, so there's that too.
He's tenacious, right? I mean, like, getting a chance to be on the field and just looking at him, you can just tell he's got something about him where you don't want to get in a fight with that guy, and he's brought it quite a bit, so I think he's been as advertised, and I think it's been good to see some of the receiving ability there. You know, obviously kind of a basic menu, but at some level of involvement because they have to, right? There's no Kincaid and Knox out there. Sokol was signed last week. I mean, what? This is a true statement. Jackson Hawes, in terms of available tight ends, is the most experienced player on this team.
Yeah.
So he's getting a lot of run, I think that's only helpful for him. But obviously, you want to see, is it 88 and 86 out there with Josh Allen?
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, joining us here on WGR from St. John Fisher. One thing I'll be watching today, Keon Coleman's been stacking practices, stacking good performances and breakout performances.
Yeah, he's the last two practices, I thought he's really, really good, especially the Sunday practice. One thing that really stood out to me yesterday was a lot of scramble drill opportunities for Josh Allen. He's looking for zero. And once it was a great rollout completion. The other, he chucked it into double coverage. Bishop and Tre'Davious White kind of closed on the ball. And I think because they both closed on the ball, neither intercepted it. But one of them should have. But he's looking for zero for sure on those scramble drills. And then I thought the Sunday practice is where you saw more of the cerebral, savvy, find space, you know, use the frame to kind of box out and be a – you know, that towering type player that they drafted him to be. So I think it's been two good days for Keon. It's not without some inconsistency. Like, he beat Maxwell Harrison clean on a vertical route yesterday and decided to one-hand it for no reason and didn't catch the ball. So, you know, some little things like that to clean up, but I think I've mostly been really satisfied with where he's trending.
Feels like there's a little bit I've heard a lot of the intellectual part of the game for Keon. Is that something you saw in the scouting going back and last year as well?
I would agree with you, Jeremy, that it feels like whether it's Joe Brady, didn't call him like one of the smartest receivers he's ever been with. I think Josh Allen's been praising like the football IQ. That's been a message.
Yeah.
It feels kind of intentional. Coming out of Florida State, I mean, that's a real basic offense, you know. So I don't know that you could look at it and say, wow, high football IQ or not. And last year, I think where you would believe that to be true is that for a rookie, extremely young player, was he 20, 21 years old last year? Very, very young, and we all know that not even a guy that's been full-time in football for that long. He, when he was healthy, played a ton of snaps, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was the highest snap taker for this receiver core, and they played him at a bunch of different spots. So I think the messaging now is pretty loud and clear, but I think when you look back to last year, what they trusted him to do kind of aligns with all of that.
Flies in the face of that occasional narrative that McDermott's afraid to play rookies. They just have to earn his trust.
Right.
And Coleman would have done that last year.
Yeah, I think that's 100% true. And they wanted him on the field, even when he came back from injury, where the impact wasn't the same. He still played a lot of snaps. And maybe a lot of that was the what do they call them, the Joe Brady routes, the for love of the game routes. But he ran them, you know, and they pat him on the field to do that. So I feel like that's maybe an unexpected part of his game that's being celebrated. And that's good because that's going to keep him on the field and that's going to get targets and that's going to allow him to be a playmaker.
Do you agree with the perception through the first week or so of camp from what you've seen that Christian Benford looks like the best player out there?
Oh, absolutely. This guy has taken names. I mean, watching him in one-on-ones yesterday, my goodness. I mean, technician's the word I think that you can easily identify, but it's the competitive spirit that he has, like, post-snap. He's chirping a little bit out there, and I think KJ Hamler brings that out of a lot of guys. I didn't realize how much of a yapper that guy was, but you know, Christian Benford is an alpha. He's a dog out there. I mean, the technique is obvious, but just the way he backs it up, his demeanor, his temperament. You know, I've been in on Benford, it feels like, for a while, and he just continues to ascend. I think he's still got a lot more to show us.
Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. Where else can people find you? Everywhere. You're everywhere.
You know, Locked On Bills, Locked On NFL Scouting, Bill Squad with you and Jerry Ostrowski, NFL First Read. Thankful to have a lot of opportunities to talk football.
Yeah, you and Kyle Krabs on that NFL Scouting podcast, right?
Yeah, we did a podcast yesterday assembling the worst possible starting lineup using actual position groups in the NFL.
Okay.
So that was fun. We're going to do the opposite of that today. We're going to do the best. But you can only use every team one time. And the challenge is that the Raiders, they had a conversation four or five times. Yeah. You only can use them once. So that was fun if you want to feel really good about the Bills. Listen to that one.
Who is the worst group, worst offensive line in football?
Houston. Yeah, which is, my goodness, after all they did, that's not where you want to be. Yeah. But
felt like they were that last year and they didn't fix it.
Well, they traded their most talented lineman.
They changed a lot. I'm not sure. I'm telling you, I don't think it is better. Maybe the scheme will help, but for that team to have that quarterback at this point in their build, that's not where you want to be having concerns. But I just don't like the collection of talent at all.
Receivers, Tennessee.
Okay,
Ridley's good. Past that, nothing. Like, who else is?
But they've got. I was gonna say they've got Ridley, but.
Well, this is where you'd love to put the Raiders. Their number one receiver is Jacoby Myers, and I love Jacoby Myers, but he's not a one. Yeah. I went with the Panthers.
Okay.
Because
– so unproven?
Well, yeah, and the other teams that I wanted to use, I had to use for other spots. And with the Panthers, it's completely unproven. Tet McMillan's a top 10 pick. We don't know. Xavier Leggett didn't really impress as a rookie.
No.
Late-stage Adam Thielen.
This Hunter Renfrow comeback story. We're not into it enough yet.
I don't know.
I don't know.
So they're just everything's I don't know with Carolina. It felt like a good team to slot in there, but there were some contenders. I wanted to put the Jets, but Garrett Wilson as an individual player,
he's awesome.
He was like, I can't do that.
Their second receiver is Josh Reynolds. Who is there?
Alan Lazard, Josh Reynolds. Yeah, that's not serious, right?
No. Yeah. All right. Joe Marino, you can catch him everywhere, all those places you just listed. Bill Squad Show, Locked On Bills Podcast, Locked On NFL Scouting. Thanks for the time. We'll see you out there.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, to get a break in, Bobby Babbage, Bills defensive coordinator, joins us at 9:15 here on WGR.